Okay, and now I would like to introduce our main speaker for this evening, Michaeline F. from Escondido.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, Joe. Michaeline, grateful alcoholic. Thanks, Sam, for inviting me. Had I known there's going to be a podium, I would have worn a longer dress, so I'm going to be bending forward tonight. Happy birthday, Melissa. Where are you? Happy birthday. 10 is a lot. It's double digits. It's about as long as a year. The first year is about as long as 10 years, I think, right? Welcome to all the people from out of state. I think it's so cool when you could just go any state, anywhere. You can go to any country in the world and go to an AA meeting and feel at home. And some people that stay up late will be going to coffee or go get something to eat after the meeting. That's not going to be me, but you're welcome to go. Anybody going to eat, invite the people from out of state. That's really, Sam. Sam will take you. He likes to treat, too, so I'm sure he'll pay. Welcome to the new people, and I appreciate you putting your phones away for 5 minutes, and I mean, all that depends on your life, you know, so I mean, you know, pace yourself here, but I've been sober since June 30th, 1982, and the only reason I'm up here tonight is God's grace in you guys, and I know it. I don't take myself too seriously. Kate and another lady I sponsor, Lynn, got me personalized license plates for my car for my one of my birthdays, and it says I love Rule 62, and because that's kind of my motto. I take AA very seriously. I get real bitchy about it. I want things in order. I like the traditions. I like to report things to New York that's not appropriate. And I've been doing that since I got sober. I'm telling. You know, I'm going to straighten this out. I'm going to report this. And they were always very nice to me when I did that. So. And now one of the girls will complain or say something that's not appropriate going on in a meeting. I'll say, call New York. They love to hear from us, you know. So I got sober in East County. I live in North County now. I have for the last 30-some-odd years. And I worked at Grossmont Hospital and Alvarado Hospital. And I lived in La Mesa. And I was a Girl Scout leader and a Little League mom and a president of Bobby Sox and La Mesa, and I've been around the block pretending to be a real person. I am not a real person. I am not a legitimate person. I fit into AA, good enough. But I don't know if you've ever tried to act like you're a legitimate person when you're not one. It's stressful. Be like holding in your stomach. I don't do that either. It's just too much work, you know? This is the way it is. That's how... But I grew up in Phoenix. I went to St. Agnes. I love being Catholic. I love rosary beads and candles and ambiance. I love Latin. Love Latin. You like Latin? Yeah. She doesn't care about Latin, I can tell. But anyway, I was going to be a nun. And that's what happened in my generation. If you were weird... and you kind of knew something was off, and you went to Catholic school, you either became a nun or a priest in my generation. That's really how it went, and there were a lot of weird people in there, and I was going to be in our Blessed Virgin Mary order, also known as the BVMs, and I kind of liked it. And when I went to school, if you got in trouble or misbehaved or whatever, which was stupid stuff compared to today, like laughing at Monsignor for farting. You know, I mean, I would just like think that was hysterical, and then I'd get in trouble, you know, but that's funny, you know. And so if you got in trouble when you went to Catholic school, you had to go at the convent on Saturdays and like clean stuff for an hour. it was like detention, but it was at the convent. And I like going to the convent, so, and I had no problem messing up, so it was just, I was always at the convent on Saturdays. I'd hang out, I'd polish things, I'd go pray, and I loved the chapel, and I was just weird then, too. I was just into it, you know? And I was going to be a nun, and I had my first drink, and then I couldn't be a nun anymore, and then I became a go-go dancer, and that's... basically my story, because I'm flexible and I have a backup plan to my backup plan. You know what I mean? If you're an alcoholic, you should know about backup plans. We're going to arrive somewhere. We have no idea, but we're going to go and arrive somewhere. And that was kind of what I was going to do.
How big is this?
Okay. You're good. Am I good? Kate will keep me in line. I left home at 15. I wasn't cut out to be a nun, obviously. And I wasn't cut out to be a go-go dancer. And I was just, it was stressful being a kid. I watched other little kids be kids, and they kind of looked relaxed. They didn't look tense, you know, and they weren't thinking about themselves and concerned. You know, they just went to recess, for Christ's sake. Not me. I'm thinking about recess and whether or not I should, you know, really, by the time I could figure out and process to go to recess, it was over. I mean, it's so stressful. So I just grew up in a generation where I watched Ozzy and Harriet and Father Knows Best, and my role model was Donna Reed. And I was at a meeting not too long ago, and I mentioned Donna Reed, and there were people that had never heard of Donna Reed or the Waltons. I will never go to that meeting again, but they'd never heard of anybody. I mean, it was like, who do you know that I know? Nobody, you know, it was just, but if you're off, if you're like me, you'll watch people that don't appear to be off and then try to act like them. It's not hard. I mean, it's not rocket science or anything. You pretend to be a normal person. It's like not that hard. And I didn't want to go to school, but I wanted a stethoscope. That's kind of my MO, you know? And so I just created a resume that I wished I had. And if I walked near a campus, I was a poli-sci major. I mean, I was like a genius. I actually walked across SDSU and became a poli-sci major. I was going to a workshop, you know. I didn't actually attend there and get a degree or anything, but I just created this resume and went to work in the emergency room at Grossmont Hospital and Alvarado ER and bounced back, you know. That's where I worked. I was a tech, and I liked it, and I was cut out for it, and then I did some school, and then I went into nursing administration, and then I did some other things, and I was always afraid people would find out. I wasn't completely sure what they were going to find out, but all of it was kind of like, I was just like smoke and mirrors, you know. I was just, had an apron and a house in La Mesa, and kids that look normal and were kind of acting normal, and I like good-looking alcoholics with potential. They're my kind of guys, you know. I like them. They're cute. They need a meatloaf, and that's what I'm cut out for, you know. I just think that's the truth. I really thought, you know, I'll marry the sailor, and then we'll get a puppy. And then we'll get a baby, and then I'll make a meatloaf. But, you know, it was just kind of whatever was on Donna Reed's show for the week, I'm going for it, you know. And we had the Waltons, if that's how I learned how to make bread. I'm not a Mormon, no offense, but I taught primary at the Mormon church in La Mesa because I wanted to learn how to make an advent calendar and snowmen out of styrofoam balls and jam. My girlfriend was a Mormon. She learned all that stuff. So I thought I'll teach primary and pretend like I'm going to be a Mormon and make jam. I don't know. This is how, well, they say we're bodily and mentally different than our fellow, but we don't really, I know. I'm off. I have no problem with it, and it amuses me somewhat. You know, it's now, but then I was concerned till I met you. And here, if you're sharing something about your story and people are nodding, you know you're in the right place. If people are going like that, you might be in an Al-Anon meeting. But no offense to the Al-Anons, God bless you. Which is actually what I was shooting for. I was shooting for Al-Anon because I didn't drink that much back in the days. I was a martyr, a modern-day martyr, and he was the alcoholic, and he'd drink, and he'd be bad, and I wouldn't drink, and I'd be good, and I would forgive him, and I would get a couch. I loved our life. You know, I mean, that's how we lived. And if he was really bad, then I'd get to a vacation. That's kind of what my life was like. And then one day, his alcoholism got so bad, and I had to make him leave. And I think I thought I was the only divorced person in La Mesa. I mean, really, I did think that. I'm not kidding about that. I wanted it more than anybody else in the whole world, and definitely more than anybody in La Mesa. And I had failed. I couldn't figure it out. I mean, how are we going to show our face? We're active in the community. This is not going to look good. This isn't going to be good. And I don't know what to do. I mean, I don't know what to do. And I mean, I was still blaming on him, things on him 10 years later. I didn't know. I thought, I'm a good person. He's not a good person. He's an alcoholic. I'm not. And I think I've always been an alcoholic. And I've always, I mean, if you heard my first step, you'd be like, oh, my God, get her into treatment. But I was a periodic for so long that it's hard if you're a periodic to put it together and see a pattern. I'd have episodes. That's what I called the ER Christmas party, PTA bowling, an episode. But then I had the progressive disease of alcoholism. Not good. Progressive disease of alcoholism means it's not going to get better. You can't just decide not to have it. You can follow by still worse relapse. I mean, I thought, I didn't know I had alcoholism. I mean, I didn't know I had it. I thought, what is wrong with me? And I thought I developed a taste. My neighbor that lived across the street was not an alcoholic. She was a normal person. She was very sweet. She was my friend. I get home from the hospital. The kids are going to have to go to Little League dance, etc. And I'm like switching clothes, start the laundry, you know, spinning, and she'd say, just come to the front porch and have a glass of wine with me. I don't really like wine. She says, it's very good wine. I like to sit on the front porch every night, have a glass of wine. Come on over and join me. And it was like, it would stress me out to take a break. I was so worried about missing something, and I wasn't going to be able to do it all. But I don't know, like Jonathan was saying, and thank you for your share. I don't know if you've ever drank, but it is relaxing. I mean, actually, it's kind of relaxing. And if you've always been stressed and it relaxes you, you don't even need a double-digit IQ to figure out, I should drink again. I'm now relaxed. Nobody wants to be tense. You drink this and you're relaxed. Who knows it's going to turn into a nightmare and you're going to have to join something? I had no idea. I was like, and pretty soon I acquired a taste for fine wine. And then pretty soon she's buying a box of wine, which I thought was a great thing, a spigot, a box. I'm good. I mean, I didn't realize it was because I was drinking all of her good wine. Who knows this stuff? I didn't know it at the time. So then I'm one of those that did chapter 3. I'm thinking, what is happening? This is insane. This is ridiculous. And these kids that I was totally into are starting to be annoying. They're selfish. I don't know if you've ever had kids that they're just suck the life out of you. And then dinner and then homework. It was like, whoa, you know. I'm only one woman. I'm carrying the burden alone. Because you have to try to figure out why in God's name you wouldn't go home. Why would you stop at a bar? Why would you let people down? It must have something to do with them. I mean, when you're trying to figure out the progressive disease of alcoholism, good luck. There's no rational explanation for it. It is insanity. It really is. That's crazy. Who would do that on purpose? Nobody. But if you're powerless over alcohol and you have the progressive disease of alcoholism, it's going to turn out bad. FYI. Good luck if you're going to try to juggle it a little bit longer. If it works, awesome. I tried that. It did not work for me. It didn't. I didn't completely quit. I mean, like, who would completely quit? But I'm trying to pace myself, alternate. I mean, all of the stuff in chapter 3. And I couldn't stick with it. Then I realized I set up stupid ideas. It's not like I couldn't. It was a dumb idea to begin with. That's what I think I thought. And on June 29th, that's my regular birthday, and we did a Walton's thing at my house. Like, if it was your birthday on Walton's Mountain, you have no chores, number one. No chores on Walton's Mountain. Has anybody here heard of the Waltons other than the first three rows? Okay, yes. Thank you, Jesus. But you also get breakfast in bed and everybody's standing around your bed singing happy birthday. It's very special on Walton's Mountain. Okay, that's what we did at my house. The problem is now, in 1982, I have acute alcohol poisoning. I prefer not to eat because the weight of the food in my stomach upsets it. I don't know that I have acute alcohol poisoning. But I'm not hungry anymore. I drink when I get up, I drink at work, and I drink after work. Pretty much I'm drinking all the time just to maintain something that doesn't maintain anymore. And if you don't know you have alcoholism and you don't know to come to AA, you might as well be dead. Dead's an option. And I was trying to figure out how to die, and I couldn't even figure that out because by the time I got trying to have a responsible, organized death, and so the kids wouldn't feel too bad, it's so much work. It's like just, you might as well live. And you might as well drink and live. And oh, my God. And that's June 29th, 1982. That's what I'm like. And on June 30th, I would come out of a blackout. I'd promised I wouldn't drink, and I drank, and I came out of a blackout. I woke up at somebody's house in La Mesa, and they had found me at the bar and taken me home and went and got my kids. That's what happened. And I did a prayer, and I don't remember the exact words, but it was something like, I'm not even sure if you're there, but if you are, do something, because this is so bad, and I don't know what to do. I did not know what to do. I certainly wouldn't have joined AA, Girl Scout leader. Hello. And God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. The secret here is God will always do for you what you can't do for yourself. He will never do what you can, which sucks. I've tried to trick him. I wish I could do this for myself. God goes, you can. I went, oh, man, you know. But I didn't know that day, and I couldn't have done it. And pretty soon God felt sorry for me, and he dropped me off with a lady named Flo from Lakeside. And Flo 12-stepped me. And I didn't really know about AA, and I didn't know the gig and the routines. And she just said, you have to call me before you drink, and I'll take you to be an AA tonight. And I said, I'm never drinking. I'm going to be an AA. And she said, well, just call me before you drink. So, of course, then 2 hours later, I want to drink. But I thought what she meant was, you can drink here. They want you to call first. Call me before you drink, as if you're going to drink, but call me first. And Let me know. I don't know. That's what I think I thought. And so I called her to let her know I was going to have a little bit to drink, but not that much, because I'm going to be in AA, and I want to be, because she's super nice to me. Well, it's not Jonathan's fault. Did you see that, Nelson?
Yeah.
It did it, like, by itself. Freaked me out. So I call her. She talks me out of drinking. I don't know if she's going to do that. I realize I don't want to drink. I'm going to be in AA in a few more hours. And it's like 2 hours later, I want to drink. I'm going to call her first because you're supposed to call before you drink. And I don't know if she's going to talk me out of it, but I realize I don't want to drink. I didn't ever really want to drink. I just didn't want to feel anything, or I wanted to change the way I felt. I thought I wanted to drink. But it just was my medicine. I didn't really want to. When I wanted to stop, I couldn't. But you have to. It's not your fault. You just got it. Unless you call first, and then you'll end up being sober 37 and a half years. It's crazy here. You know, so finally, I'm going to put my foot down and let her know I'm serious. I am going to have a little bit to drink, and I'm going to be in AA. And I just have to be clear and articulate. I mean, she didn't seem real bright. You know, I thought, speak slowly. She's not getting it. And so I went to tell her that, and the next thing I know, I said, if you don't hurry and get here, I won't be able to be in AA. And it was just so pathetic. And she was there in a few minutes. And they didn't have cell phones then, but it was as if she knew it was coming. And my first meeting was Thursday night, Channel Road Lakeside. And some guy had 30 days. I said, oh, Jesus, you've got to say your name. You're an alcoholic. And how long? And I'm like, blah, 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 blah. 11 hours. I have 11 hours. And they just went nuts. It's like a golf score here, you know. You get a big number. It's like, yeah, you know, you got a low number. Like, yeah, you know, they're totally into it, you know, because Jesus. 11 hours, I thought, these people understand how long 11 hours is. And I don't know about anybody here, but the people out there aren't going to clap for us. You know what I'm saying? Homeboy gets his driver's license at 54 years old after he's been out of prison 2 years, and we have a party. And, you know, they're like, people on the outside don't clap for us. They're not proud of us. I went all day without a drink. Yes, you know, let me give you a cake and a party and a token. And, you know, they're like, pay the mortgage payment. You know, it's like, whoa, my people in AA get me, you know, because we didn't screw each other over yet. You know, so it's like, of course we're going to be wonderful here. So basically, that's kind of why I joined AA. I mean, they're so proud of you, you know, for not drinking all day and looking like a puffy mess. And I just thought, I'm joining this. I mean, they're like, I'm not leaving. Kind of remember having a sense of that feeling, like, you got me. You understood this. I told this lady the truth, this perfect stranger, and she said it was going to be okay and she'd help me. She didn't judge me. She didn't ask my credit score. She didn't ask me if I'd been a good mom. She didn't ask me anything that I felt was so important and I was so ashamed of. And she just said she'd help me, and she did. And I had to leave my job a couple weeks later because I can't work and be an AA. 2 weeks sober, I'm like a freaking crazy person. Is this being taped? Oh, Jesus. Edit. But you know what I'm saying? Edit. Sober, I'm real. You know, if you look around the room tonight, everybody looks pretty decent. You want to know the truth. If we were all naked, phew, scary. And that's what sober feels like to me. It's like I can't pretend to be somebody else. This is what I'm like. This is what I'm like. This is what I'm afraid of. This is what I do. This is how I think. I mean, it's just like being authentic. You can't, there's no props here. if you're going to stay sober, you're going to be real. And if you're going to be real, it's not always going to look that good. And I had to walk into my boss and tell her, 13 years in healthcare, I said, I can't, I'm an alcoholic. She goes, really? I said, oh, yeah, bad. I was drinking here. She goes, really? Oh, yeah. Oh, can't go all day. And so she thinks I'm leaving for the day, and I said, no, I can't work. I'm going to be an AA, and if I can stay sober 30 days, I can be a coffee maker. And I'm the ticket thing on Saturday night, you have to have 90 days for it. But, and she's like, whew, you know. I had a kind of an important position, and my name was on the door and everything, and I was like, I'm not even qualified for this job. I'm not sure how I got it, but faker, you know. I just would accomplish things. It was crazy. But I couldn't work and be sober. It was too stressful. And the kid just said, we're going to go to dad's, who was sober that whole year, 1 year, that year. And just while you're in AA, that's what they said. Because you're not doing better. I said, well, they only have like 12 things they want you to know in a couple books. It's not like Esther, Course of Miracles. It's like two books, you know, 12 things. I can knock it out in 12 weeks, one a week. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. And they're in Coronado at the time. And I ended up in Pat Webster's front yard in a 14-foot camping trailer. Remember Pat and Twiggy? And Alan brought me a bicycle and to ride to the Alano Club in El Cajon and Isoplasma. And Jack Ladd got me a job making sandwiches in a deli after I had 90 days. He was afraid that, you know, I might take something. Well, I did take something, but after I had 90 days. yeah, it cost, and 22 years later, I was able to find the guy and pay him the $53 that I owed him. I didn't even want to give him the money. $53. But I did it. But isn't that so funny? If I owe you $53, I hate to give it to you. If you owe me $2.23, I will remember that. Forever. And that's kind of what I was like. I didn't want to take the steps, and I certainly didn't want to hear about the traditions. I really wanted a boyfriend with a MasterCard, because I was living in a metal, like a tuna can, in somebody's front yard. No wonder I couldn't get a date. And I'm selling plasma, and Ted Hall is hauling a bunch of newcomers around that lost their cars or didn't have a car, and that's what I was like. And I tried to get a boyfriend, and I couldn't get a boyfriend because I was pathetic. And so I got a relationship with God instead, but only by default. If I would have got a boyfriend, I wouldn't have gotten God, trust me. And never going to be my first choice. But I rode my bicycle to Taco Leo's at night to call my sponsor and try not to whine, because if you whine, you get a service commitment. Aha, I finally figured it out. And she said, go back, because I had no phone, no TV, no car, no radio, no running water. I had a hose outside, and I was kind of bored in there by myself. Crazy. And she says, ask God to hold you at night. Okie dokie. Yeah, I'm going to jump on that one. Oh, my God, I want a hairy chest and a boyfriend with money. You know, this is, and I, privacy is fascinating. But privacy means you could be alone with God and you could say anything and nobody would know. And so I just would say, would you hold me tonight? And if you don't, I'll kill myself. I'll leave a note. I'll say, I asked you to help me, but you didn't, and that's why I'm dead. Amen. Basically, that's how I prayed. And all of a sudden, I knew. All of a sudden, the steps started working because I started doing them. And I did them by default. My first choice was different. I wanted to go to AA dances. really. They had a lot of dances in, eat bologna sandwiches at the Alano Club and be popular and just get a boyfriend. But instead, what happened is the steps start, they change you. And there's an old-timer that used to say, we don't care about your inner child, find the inner adult. That's the one that's missing. And I thought, that's good. I had to find an inner adult. Which isn't that much fun. But the steps started changing me, and as soon as the steps started changing me, I had a sponsor, her name was Joyce Green, from East County, and she's very mean, and she didn't want me to do this in God's time. She wanted me to do it in record time because she thought if I didn't hurry and see what I needed to see to do what I needed to do, I wouldn't stay sober. She didn't babysit me. She didn't nurture my inner anything. She said, you're pathetic. What a manipulator. What about this? Oh, my God, I can't believe you did that. I mean, she was just like over me. Thank God. Thank God. And I must have wanted to be sober bad enough that I wanted to hear what she had to say. And then I'd hang up on her sometimes. Because I like to blame stuff on other things, you know. And I remember calling her one time. She goes, if I have to hear the daddy beat me story one more time, I'm going to throw up. Ow. True, I didn't actually have any feeling. And it didn't even actually happen. It was this, but I made it this because nobody feels sorry for this. And you need sympathy if you're going to drink, right? Get attention. Oh, my God. So the steps just kept changing me. And as the kids came home and the steps were changing me, and I was doing this thorough thing with the fourth and fifth step, and then the sixth and seventh, I thought, we did this repeatedly, and I thought, I'm not going to need to do it repeatedly. I'm serious about six and seven. I'm serious about AA, and I mean it, and I want to be wake up with goodness. And I was good for like 2 or 3 days. I mean, that's been a record. That's the only record I've held in AA was that goodness for 2 or 3 days. I didn't know what it meant till I wanted to mention something about somebody else. And I thought, the little voice in six and seven go, you said you weren't going to do that. But what about I wanted to spend the gas and light money on something? Six and seven voice says, you said you weren't going to do that. I'd made a commitment to be good. Behave myself, practice an opposite. And then I was going to have to clean up the wreckage of my past, and I thought, oh, Christ, now what am I going to do? And I actually did better financially when I made better minimum wage, paying on my amends. I was so hypervigilant, I didn't want to keep any of the money. I just wanted to be poor and good. Now, at 22 years sober, you know, which was, what, 15 years ago, I'm like, I didn't want to pay the guy $53. I had $53. I didn't want to give it to him. And he says, you don't need to pay me that. And I thought, yes, I actually do, which is kind of pissing me off, but I have to do it. God. Hadn't seen him in 18 years. He had moved out of state, Colorado or something. I couldn't find him anywhere. Showed up at a meeting, wasn't in AA. Interesting. Found out my dad wasn't my real dad when I was 7 years sober, and that was my roughest one through the steps. My mom had died when I was young, and I got custody of my sister when she was 8 years old, and it was like psychodrama story, but whatever, it's just the story. And so I go back, and this is an amends I need to make. Which, do you have a card to show me or anything yet? Am I good? All right, thanks. But I kept doing this inventory on my dad because I couldn't figure it out. The other ones I could see. My part, I could see it. It was just like obvious. Jeez, not rocket science once you see it. They're all kind of the same. You see it. With my dad, it just kept, and finally I got it. Finally. And I was a little over 5 years sober, and I thought, oh, my God, no wonder. I wanted him to accept me for who I was, but I wouldn't accept him for who he was. I wanted him to remember my birthday. I knew his was sometime in October. Like, does it actually matter? All that had ever mattered was me. I didn't even know this guy. I mean, I felt bad. All of a sudden, I was like, oh, my God. It was so awful. I was I thought, what a crappy daughter. My poor dad. I'd never thought that in my life, but I got it. Finally got it. I book a flight, go into Texas, make these amends. And right before I'm going to make my amends, it's kind of like, I see my aunt in Texas, and she says, well, she's talking, and I'm being dramatic, which is hard to believe. But, and I said, you know, it's like he wasn't my real dad, and blah, blah, blah. And she goes, well, that's not your real daddy, honey. What? She goes, well, I thought you knew. You didn't know. Well, anyway, you're a Greek or Jew. I never can remember which one. It was a restaurant owner where your mom worked. I'm from Houston. This is how they talk. I said, what? I'm not German? I mean, I couldn't even wrap my head around it. I thought it was German. I mean, now I'm Jewish or Greek and the restaurant owner or my mom and my dad. I'm so confused. And I race to the Legacy Club outside of Houston and I am sharing with an old timer that got sober the year I was flipping born. So she should know something. And I'm sharing with her this, freaked out. And she says, she's just looking at me like I'm on drugs or something, which I'm not a drug person. She says, oh, the little California girl's got a problem. Yeah. And she says, well, let's just have a meeting on acceptance. I thought, this is what they come up with. This is Oprah material. This is so big. And I flew here, and I'm going to see my dad. But it's not really my dad. I'm a Greek or a Jew. Oh, my God. You know, and they're like, not that big a deal. She said, a daddy's a daddy. Go clean it up. And one old-timer and one topic and 1 hour, and it cleaned it up. And it really, who cares? I mean, really, I don't care. That's my dad. I'm a mess. I was my poor dad. And I never mentioned it to him. I thought, he didn't tell me. I'm not telling him. He's kept me. I'm keeping him. And it ended up becoming an incredible relationship. But it was also the example for the rest of them. And the rest of them, I want them to accept my truly exceptional ability at work, and I'm not recognizing theirs. I want my neighbor to be a good neighbor, but I'm not a great neighbor. I want this, I want that, whatever. And it's kind of like you have to do all this stuff, and you have to do it first. And that's what happened with 8 and 9. They just changed me. And the rest of the steps, I got a 10-step loop thing going. The women I sponsor, and you do your 10th step, and then it's like, go back to 6 and 7. You're acting up again. And we got things to practice. I mean, I raised all those kids. I got back into healthcare after a year. You know, I just retired from corporate healthcare after 47 years. 1 year off with bad behavior. And now I'm working on a state grant until the end of September. I started it a year ago in January. That's 48 years in healthcare. Not qualified to do what I'm doing, but I'm doing it. I'm actually kind of good at it, which is always amazing me. I used to think I was kind of great, and then I wasn't. And now I don't think I'm that great, and now I'm better. And I raised all those kids. I have all my kids. They're in their 40s and their 50s, my children. My grandchildren, I have 9 of them. I have 9 great-grandchildren. I fell in love once. He died unexpectedly without my permission. And that's the way that went. At least I got one that worked, that was good. My grandkids are up to 36 years old. They've never seen me pick up a drink. They think I'm a regular grandma. They think I'm a little fun, kooky. My doctor just informed me I'm a senior citizen. I thought, who would think that? I mean, I don't even like his attitude. I may switch doctors. I don't like that. I don't know who he thinks he is. You know, it's like, what is your deal? You know? He makes me come in there once a year for no reason. Just, he likes me, I guess. I don't know. I'm not letting nobody get to see me naked, so I don't know. I know it's on for that. But I've done H&I most of 37 years. I still do H&I at detox. I'm the cookie lady at my home group. I have a women's meeting in my living room. It's been 24 years that Thursday night living room group is there every Thursday night, whether I'm in town or not. Sometimes I'm traveling, and people have a house, you know, house key. I don't even know who all's got a house key anymore, but the meeting's there every week. If you're a woman, or I'm just saying if you're a woman, call me. You can come to the meeting in the living room. We honor the spirit of the 12 traditions. We pay New York not to listen to me, apparently, and central office and our district. And I just think if you're not loving Alcoholics Anonymous, you obviously don't have any commitments, you're not involved with H&I, and you're not sponsoring enough people. Announce yourself as a visitor. To stay in love with anything, a person or a program or anything else like that, you got to hang in there and stay in the middle. I don't get to feel, oh, every single minute of every single day, but I'm always in the right place at the right time to feel it again. And I've been doing that for a long, long time. I'm passionate. I remember one time saying to Don, I said, honey, this is important to me. I totally am passionate about it. And he says, you know, you're passionate about your cereal if you like it. You actually have no credibility with me. And I thought, I am kind of like that. But who would have thought if something good for me I'd be passionate about and committed and want to stay in the middle? You see, I quit the good stuff after 30 days. So that's it. Thanks.